This is an interesting story here that's in this fifth chapter of Nehemiah. Of course, you know the storyline in the book of Nehemiah is Nehemiah going back to Jerusalem and leading the people in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And into the building project, they ran into a little problem because he and others had redeemed, the Bible uses the word, bought back from slavery those Jews that had been sold into bondage, sold to the heathen people, sold to non-Jews. And they did that to pay a debt. And Nehemiah and some of the others had come and paid that debt and freed them from that bondage. Now, for various reasons, for reasons where they had to buy food or for reasons where they had to pay their king's tribute taxes, they had sold some of their sons and daughters to other Jewish people. And they came and they cried to and talked to Nehemiah about this. And he said, hey, you're not doing right. I mean, we've redeemed our brethren from the heathen, and it's not right that you sell your children and sell yourselves to ourselves. Just forgive the debt. Hey, we're trying to do a mighty work here. We're trying to rebuild the walls, and we got all these enemies that are against us. We got all these people that are all around us that are trying to stop us, and we don't need problems inside the family, so to speak. Hey, we ought to be getting along because we got this great work to do. And he's going to, over in the next couple of chapters, where the enemies tried to get him to come and consult with them, talk to them, and Nehemiah said, hey, I can't come. We're doing a great work here. I can't take the time and come over and talk to you guys. I'm leading the people, and we're doing a great work. And what he was saying here in chapter 5 was, hey, we can't afford to have discord inside the city. We can't afford to have discord on our team. We got enough problems fighting the enemy. We got enough problems trying to get the job done, and so let's just get along with one another and quit selling your kids, forgive the debt. If you got food, share it, like we've talked about as we've studied the book of Acts. People got to eat. If you got food, share it, and if you got money, share it. Let's not sell our children and ourselves into bondage, because that's going to stop the progress that we're making toward rebuilding the wall. So a wonderful story. And that's not my message tonight, but a wonderful story about, and it's got good application. There's so many people on the outside that are fighting us to try to keep us getting done what God wants us to do. We need to make sure that we have harmony and peace on the team, inside the walls, so that we can fight those that are outside the walls. Now, tonight, I want to look at verse 7. Then I consulted with myself. And in just a second, I'm going to get to what I want to say about that little phrase there, then I consulted with myself. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4, the Bible says this, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. The Bible is full of examples of where counsel is sought, and if it's sought and followed, good results follow. And if counsel is ignored, bad results follow. As a launching point for my message tonight, I just want to give you a couple of examples. Moses one time needed some counsel. He was spending himself trying to deal with every situation that would come up. And if you read the book of Exodus, you'll find that early in the morning to late at night, when they weren't trampling through the wilderness, he would sit in his tent or stand in his tent, and there would be a long line of people that lined up to see him because they had problems, because they wanted his advice, because they wanted his counsel. And he did it from sun up to sundown. And do you remember who it was that gave Moses the advice that he ought to do something different? Yeah, his father-in-law. His father-in-law came, and he saw this. He said, hey, son-in-law, you are going to wear yourself out. You cannot do this day after day after day after day. You're going to expend yourself, and you're going to be no good to anybody. He says, here's what I would advise you to do. The counsel that Moses' father-in-law gave him. He said, you need to appoint some people to help you. You need to appoint some people that will hear the easy cases. And let them judge, and you teach them the principles, and you let them take care of the easy cases. Let them bring the hard cases to you, and then you'll be able to do what God wants you to do. Moses heeded that advice, and as you read the history, he appointed judges over 10, some over 100, some over thousands. They took care of the easy stuff. They brought the hard stuff to him. That was an example that God put in the Bible. And by the way, God don't put examples in the Bible just so that we can say, oh, well, what a nice story. He puts examples like that in the Bible so that we can learn from them. Now, let me give you another example of somebody that got some advice that didn't heed it. There was a man named Rehoboam who was Solomon's son. And Solomon had just died. And Rehoboam was trying to decide what kind of king was going to be. And so he called in the older advisors. The advisors that had been his father's advisors, and let me back up for a minute. There was a group of people that came to him, and they said, Rehoboam, we want to know what kind of king you're going to be. In fact, there was a man named Jeroboam that led that group, and they said to Rehoboam, we want to know what kind of king you're going to be. I mean, your father ruled us, and he was hard in some cases, and we just want to know, are you going to be like him? Are you going to be harder? Are you going to be easier? And Rehoboam said, well, you come back in 3 days and I'll let you know. So he sought counsel. He went to the older advisors. And the older advisors said, Rehoboam, if you are a good king, if you lighten the load a little bit of the people, because Solomon in the last days of his reign, you know, is when he started worshiping false gods. And he got away from being the kind of king that God wanted him to be. And so these older advisors said, hey, if you lighten the load a little bit, if you serve the people. Now listen, they said, if you serve the people, yes, you're the king, but if you serve the people, they will be subject unto you. Then Rehoboam said, well, I better get some more advice. So he went to the younger advisors, people that had grown up with him. And they said, well, what's your advice? And the young advisor said, well, you tell them that your dad was easy compared to how you're going to be. He said, you tell him that your dad ruled with his finger, tell him that you're going to rule with your loin, and that he whipped you with whips, and you're going to whip him with scorpions. You tell him that you're going to be a much harder king than your dad was. So Rehoboam, when this group of people came back to him, decided to ignore the counsel of the older advisors and listen to the counsel of the younger advisors. And you that know the story know that 10 of the tribes of Israel broke off from Rehoboam. In fact, it's kind of funny. When Rehoboam sent the tax collector to collect the taxes, they stoned him. I have often thought about that, about April 15th, but I've reframed myself. But they stoned him, and he fled back. And some of you thought the same thing, but you wouldn't admit it. But he fled back to Jerusalem, and as a result, he reigned only two tribes, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. The rest of the 10 tribes followed Jeroboam, and they went into sin, started worshiping calves, and it was a disaster. So there are two examples from the Bible, one where Moses followed the counsel, the good counsel that he got from his father-in-law, and one where Rehoboam ignored the counsel of the older advisors. Now here's where I want to start tonight. Every single person needs some counselors. Where, that verse in Proverbs that says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, is still true today. What Solomon was trying to tell us is, hey, we don't know it all. And there are going to be situations that we run into in our life where we need advice, where we need counsel. And we ought to have people in our life that we can go to and get their counsel and get their advice. Oh, by the way, let me just give you a couple principles, okay, about seeking counsel. Number one, before you ask somebody for counsel, just already decide that you're going to do it. I mean, don't go and ask somebody's counsel. I was reading a story in the book of Jeremiah Friday on the airplane, where this group of people came to Jeremiah and they said, go see what God wants us to do, because we will do exactly what God tells us to do. They were deciding if they were going to stay in Jerusalem or go to Egypt. So they came to Jeremiah. Just go ask God what he wants us to do, because we're going to do exactly what God wants us to do. So God went to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah went to God, and God came back to Jeremiah and said, tell him to stay here. Tell him to don't go down to Egypt. Tell him to stay here. Jeremiah called that group of people back and says, God said, stay here. And you know what they said? No, he didn't. He didn't say to stay here. We're going to go to Egypt. Now look, if you already got your mind made up about what you're going to do, don't go ask somebody's advice. I mean, you're wasting their time and you're wasting your time. If you've already got your mind made up, don't seek counsel. I mean, if you're going to go ask somebody's advice, be very careful who you do that to. Because you ought to make up your mind, hey, if I'm asking them counsel, I'm going to do what they say. Let me give you a second principle. Don't shop around. Don't say, well, I'll go ask Brother Chuck. But if he doesn't tell me what I want to hear, I'll go ask Brother Dave. And if Dave tells me what I'll hear, I'll follow his counsel. Don't do that. I mean, again, if you've already got your mind made up and you're just shopping to find somebody that's going to agree with you, you're wasting your time. Just go ahead and do what you've already made up your mind to do. Now, I will tell you, there are things that, again, we don't know everything, and everybody ought to have people that they trust, that they picked out because they are people that have experience and are people that know. And again, when you go to them for counsel, you ought to say, I'm going to do what they say. Now, that can be different people in your life. If your mother and father are still alive, they are good counselors to have. Good counselors to have. Brothers, sisters, fellow church members. And by the way, you ought to have in these people that give you counsel, not only people that can give you advice and guidance when you're trying to make a decision, but you ought to have people that you go to that will help you help your spirit. And here's what I mean by that. You know, all of us at times we get overrun by circumstances and we get down. You ought to have people that you can go to that you know when you go to them, they are going to cheer you up. It doesn't matter what kind of day you've had. You can call them on the phone. You can go and see them, and you know by coming into their presence that you are going to be lifted up because they are that kind of person. Now, and I could give you some examples, but I won't. But there are people in this room tonight that when I get a little discouraged, I always try to get around, because no matter what's the problem in my life, they help me see it from a different perspective, and I walk away on top because I've been in their presence. Same thing. I have people in my life, when I get the Eeyore complex, and I know some of you don't. Teresa told me one time, real men do not do Winnie the Pooh. Because I was on Brian I was on Evan and Ryan about Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, they don't know that's for girls. So, but anyhow, for those of you know who Eeyore is, he's that little donkey in Winnie the Pooh that walks, Brother Clint knows who I'm talking about, but who walks around and says, woe is me. Woe is me, you know, it's going to rain, it's going to snow. It's just a sad, sorry little stuffed donkey. Sometimes I get the Eeyore complex. Woe is me. Now, and I have people in my life that I can get around that will help me know and remember that God is good, and regardless of what's going on in my life, I can still trust Him. I mean, I can still know, regardless of the circumstances that are going on, they'll remind me that God's good and He's going to take care of me. And nothing comes into my life without He allowing it. And so we need people in our life. And again, you ought to be careful as you select them. And by the way, I would encourage you, don't wait till you need them to pick them. Pick them. Have them sort of on standby. I mean, as you pick them, watch. Watch how they conduct their life. Watch as how they handle adversity. Watch what they do when they get discouraged, how they pick themselves up. And have them sort of on standby so that when things like that come into our life, we can say, hey, I know Brother Dick knows how to handle this. I'm going to go hang with him. Or I know Helen can help me in this case, so I'm going to just go talk to her for a little bit. And have people like that in your life, whether it's your parents, your children, your friends, but have people that you know to call on to help you either when you need to make a decision, when you need guidance, when you need to be lifted up. Sometimes I want somebody in my life that when I'm sad will just put their arm on my shoulder and say, it'll get better. I don't want them to give me an advice. I don't want them to tell me what to do. I just want them to commiserate with me. I know how you're feeling. It'll get better. And we all need people like that. Hey, look, God did not put us in a family. God did not put us in a church so that we have to face life alone. I know we have the Holy Spirit, and I'm glad we do. And I know that we can turn to Him any moment of any day. But you know why God made you part of this family? Because He put you in this family so that other people in this family could be your counselors, could be your helpers. And we have a responsibility to one another to play those roles, to do those things that God wants us to do. Look, He didn't bring us together by accident. I mean, he brought us for a purpose. And every single person in this church family was placed here by God. He put it together. I mean, He compares it in the Bible to a body. And I know you might look at me and say, well, He didn't put yours together very well. You've been hitting the Butterfingers too much. But He put this family together, a church family together, with as much care as He did our bodies. And there is a purpose and a reason for every single person in this church family. And I don't want to embarrass anybody tonight, but Reg, after you left lunch today, a couple of us were talking about you. You know, he's quiet. He comes and he goes without a lot of fanfare. But there was a couple of us talking about lunch about how you are an encouragement to us. Somebody mentioned at lunch, here's a guy that knows the Bible. I said, yeah, he taught Sunday school for 100 years. Abraham Lincoln was in his Sunday school class. But that's what I'm talking about. I mean, even those that don't make a big show, even those that just sort of, you know, come in and go out, they never make a big deal about anything, God has put here for a reason, and it's in many cases, it's for us. It's for us that we can be an encouragement to one another, that we can be a counsel to one another. And so every single one of us ought to have some advisors. Some people we picked out that we can go to when we need to be lifted up, when we need counsel, when we need advice. Now, let me get to my message. Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, leading the charge to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. There were priests there, but he was the leader. And he ran into this little problem about these people selling their children to pay their debts, pay their taxes. And the Bible says there in verse 5, he says, I consulted with myself. I didn't really have anybody to go to. I mean, I didn't have a counselor. I didn't have my dad there. I didn't have my best friend there. I didn't have the people I normally talk to. And so I had to consult with myself. And there are going to be times when we have to do the same thing. There are going to be times, situations that we're going to be in, that we, I mean, even though we have a council of advisors, Even though we have people that we go to for advice, that we go to be lifted up, there are going to be times when they're not going to be available. And there are going to be times we're going to have to do just like Nehemiah did. We're going to have to consult with ourselves. I want to give you just 3 points tonight that when you get into those situations, what you should do. Okay? What you should do. Number one, what have people advised you to do in the past when you came across that same situation? Think back. Hey, I had this same problem 3 years ago. And back then, I was able to go to Brother Larry, and here's what Brother Larry told me to do. It worked back then. I'm going to do it again. I mean, you know, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there ain't nothing new under the sun. What's been before will come again. And if you've had a problem and you've gone to somebody and sought advice the last time you had it, and they're not there to talk to this time, just try the same thing you tried before. Just do the same thing. Number one, think about what people have advised you before. Number two, what kind of advice have you given people in that situation? I mean, if somebody came to you with that problem, and it's always, I tell you what, it's always a lot easier to give advice than it is to take it, isn't it? Huh? It always is. I mean, if Bob has a problem, he comes to me with that problem. It's so easy for me to say, Bob, this is what I think you ought to do. But when I have the problem, it's always hard to practice what you preach, right? Right, Brother Clint? It's always hard, you know, it's hard to practice what you preach. But if I'm in a place where I can't go for counsel, then I need to think back when somebody else came to me with that problem, and I said, well, here's what I think you ought to do. Well, then, Daryl, that's probably what you ought to do in this particular situation. So, point number one, what have people advised you in the past? Point number, seeing this is going to be a quick sermon. I'm almost to my third point. Point number two, what have you advised people? Point number three, what would Jesus do? I mean, we read about his life in the four Gospels. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we. In other words, he was in every circumstance that we're in. And so the question is, what would Jesus do in this particular situation? And then you might say, well, I've read the four Gospels, and I don't ever remember Jesus being in this situation. Okay? Then I'll say this. What would Grandpa do in this situation? If Jesus was never in this situation, at least that I can tell from the Bible, what would my grandfather do or my grandmother do if he or she was in this situation? And you might say, well, I never knew my grandpa and my grandma, and I never knew them. I never knew their problems. You know, I was just a kid. Okay, let's take it one step further. What would your dad do? What would your mom do in that situation? You say, well, I don't know that either. I'll give you one more. What's right? What's the right thing to do? You know, when they teach us about integrity at work, I like the illustration that they use. They said, when you're about to make a decision, think about this, that on the front page of the paper tomorrow is going to be the decision that you made. Everybody's going to be able to read about it. Everybody's going to be able to know about it. So when you make your decision, you make it like it's going to be on the front page of the paper tomorrow. And you're either going to be proud because you've made the right decision, or you're going to be ashamed because you made a shady decision. And if we get into those situations where we can't go for counsel, and nobody's given advice about it before, and we haven't given advice about it before, and we can't figure out what Jesus would do, and we can't figure out what Grandpa would do, and we can't figure out what Dad would do, then ask yourself, well, what would I want to be written in the paper tomorrow about this decision? What would I want the whole world to know? What decision I made in this particular situation? One verse from Timothy and I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Take heed unto yourself. There's going to be times when you're going to be your only counselor. There's going to be times. And again, every single person, and I know the children that are here, and I know you're a little young to be thinking about this, but I'd like to get this, Andrew, I'd like to get this into your head tonight. And Jenna, I'd like to get it into your head tonight. Well, I'd like to get it into all these older people's head too, but I'd like to get it in your head, and Hannah, into your head, and Hannah and Elizabeth and Evan and Ryan and Mary. I'd like to get it into your head that God has put people in your life to help you make decisions. Use them. Use them. Ask. Seek their counsel. And do what they say. And we'd be a whole lot better off, some of us, if we'd think and ask and listen before we did stuff, as opposed to just rushing in and doing it. Very, and again, you might say, well, Brother Darrell, this sure wasn't a very spiritual message. And I would disagree with you. Because the Bible is a practical book, and the practical advice that the Bible gives us is just as spiritual as preaching on the cross of Calvary. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, let me give you some advice. You ain't going to get to heaven without Him. The only way into heaven is to come and receive Christ as your Savior. And the best advice that I can give you tonight is do it now. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Jesus is ready to offer to you the gift of salvation. All you got to do is come and take it. And tonight, if you've never done that, I know that the Holy Spirit has spent the last 20 minutes talking to you about your need for Jesus. And I would invite you to follow up and listen to the Holy Spirit and do what He says and come and take Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the time we spent together. I pray that You would make it profitable. Father, I pray most of all that the little folks that are here tonight, the little girls and the little boys would know that God put parents and grandparents and people in their life, Sunday school teachers in their life, to help them as they make their decisions going forward. And I pray, Father, that maybe just even if we just scratch the surface tonight, that they would realize that You've put those people there to help them. And Father, I pray for us older folks that we'd realize too that You put people into our life to help us, and that we'd use those folks in the way that You intended for us to use them as counselors. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, tonight would be the night they would decide to take that free gift of salvation that's offered to every single person. Help them to see their sin. Help them to see the price that was paid for it on Calvary. Tonight, help them to receive the Savior. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.